From Rise of the Warrior Cop, The Militarization of America's Police Forces by Radley Balco. The Ruby Ridge fiasco began in 1989 when Randy Weaver sold an ATF informant two sawed-off shotguns that had been cut shorter than was allowed under federal law. Weaver was no doubt an odd duck. He and his wife Vicky had moved their family to rural Idaho in 1983 to escape what they believed to be the coming Armageddon. He associated with white supremacists and in fact met the ATF informant at a meeting of the Aryan Nations. The informant's handler at the ATF didn't think Weaver was much of a threat, so rather than charge Weaver, the ATF attempted to leverage the gun charges to get him to work as an informant. When Weaver refused, the agent filed federal gun charges. On August 21, 1992, a team of U.S. Marshals dressed in camouflage and carrying M16s went to Weaver's home on a reconnaissance mission to determine an appropriate place and manner to capture him. Once there, one of the marshals threw rocks at the Weaver cabin to see how the family's dogs would react. The dogs went nuts. Hearing them, Weaver's 14-year-old son Sammy went out with friend Kevin Harris to see what the commotion was about. Accounts of the incident differ here, but at some point, one of the agents shot and killed one of Weaver's dogs. Sammy Weaver responded by firing his own gun at the source of the gunfire, then fled toward the house. One of the marshals then shot him in the back as he ran. Sammy Weaver was dead. Harris then exchanged fire with the marshals, killing one of them. A 12-day siege ensued, featuring hundreds of cops, agents, and troops from the ATF, the FBI, the U.S. Marshals, the Idaho State Police, the local Sheriff's Department, the Idaho National Guard, and, for some reason, the U.S. Border Patrol. On day two of the siege, FBI sniper teams were told that their rules of engagement were basically to shoot on sight, instructions usually reserved for the battlefield and virtually unheard of in civil law enforcement. When Randy Weaver left the house to visit the body of his son, which they had put in a guest cabin, an FBI sniper shot him in the chest. As Weaver, Harris, and one of Weaver's daughters fled back into the house, the agent fired again at the front door. That bullet went through the door, then through Vicky Weaver's head, killing her instantly. She was holding her 10-month-old daughter at the time. The baby fell to the floor. Weaver and Harris were eventually tried in federal court for murder, attempted murder, and other felonies. They were acquitted on all of the serious charges. The federal government eventually settled with the Weaver family for over $3 million and with Weaver for $380,000. The raid in Waco the next year involved many of the same agencies, indeed, many of the same agents. After the December 2012 shooting massacre in Newtown, Connecticut, put the issue of gun control back into the political discourse, some progressives again dredged up the right's criticism of the ATF in the early 1990s. In one lengthy segment, MSNBC host Rachel Maddow aired old footage from Waco and Ruby Ridge, while making some tenuous connections between gun rights politicians and activists and Weaver, McVeigh, and Koresh. She referred to a, quote, conspiracy-driven corner of the gun world's paranoia about federal agents, end quote, without paying much heed to the fact that the ATF was inflicting the same sort of abuse on suspected gun offenders that Maddow herself has decried when used against suspected undocumented immigrants or Occupy protesters. More tellingly, Maddow added that there's nothing wrong with wanting to give more power to the ATF based only on the politics of the people opposed to doing so. Quote, sometimes the character of the opposition defines why something ought to be the most politically viable thing in the world, she said. In 2009, the Department of Homeland Security issued a controversial report on what the author, DHS analyst Daryl Johnson, called a resurgence of right-wing extremism and the threat it posed to domestic security. Johnson was interviewed for an article on the 20th anniversary of the Ruby Ridge fiasco, and he took one step further, Rachel Maddow's idea, of supporting government force simply because you don't like the factions opposing it. Johnson, in fact, suggested that merely having concerns about police militarization is a worry only borne by extremists. In fact, he appeared to have suggested that even recognizing that militarization is happening is an indication of fringe extremism.